time for Americans to grow up and become financially responsible.
Let's talk about something important.
If you're in it for the money, that's not a bad thing.
Do you realize how much money he just saved us?
This is The Financial Physician with Lou Scatigna.
The Financial Physician. It's the fastest hour in Money Talk Radio.
It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates.
This is financial advice you can take to the bank.
He's your money man.
Show me the money.
Your source for straightforward, no-nonsense financial advice.
Bring me your money questions because I'm here to help.
And now, here he is, the financial physician, America's money doctor, Lou Scatigna.
Greetings, my friends. How are you today? And welcome to a live edition of the Financial Physician. Great to be back live with you after being in Italy for 2 weeks on vacation. I think I forgot how to do this. After 22 years, I forgot how to do this after 2 weeks. I got to tell you, though, I miss doing this show. I really do. I've been chomping at the bit the last few days to get in here in front of the microphone here at the WOBM studios. Yes, we're live, 92.7 WOBM, every Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. If you listen live, thanks for joining us. Many of you listen to us on the podcast. That's fine, too. Whatever day or time you're listening, welcome. Hopefully you enjoyed last week's recorded show. Paul did a great job putting it together, and I gave you some of the, I thought, was the most important topics we talked about this year. So hopefully you enjoyed last week's show. But we are back live with you after, again, 2 weeks. Got back Friday night. It was a good trip. I had a really great time. My wife and I, we love Italy. It's been a long time, 3 years since we've been there. I'm done with Italian food for a while. I've eaten more pasta and pizza and drank more red wine. I never thought I'd get sick of good Italian food, but I've had it. I've had it with Italian food for a while. You know what was the most interesting thing about the food in Italy? And you won't believe this, but it is the beef. We had the best steaks we've had, I think, in our lives in Rome. Actually, not only Rome, Bologna and everywhere else we went, we had great beef. And you wouldn't think that that's where you would go. You know, when we went to Aruba in May, it was the same story. I just think the beef in the United States stinks. But it's so flavorful, so tender, so wonderful. My wife every night was ordering a steak. And I'm like, Sue, you're in Italy. What are you doing ordering a steak? Anyway, so we had some interesting stories. Nothing crazy. I didn't lose my wallet. Didn't lose my passport. Didn't lose my computer. Didn't lose my phone. All our flights were on time. All our trains were on time. So there's no real interesting travel stories. Oh, I do have an interesting travel story. So the first night we're in Rome, Sue and I are sitting in a gay transvestite bar having a drink like we usually do when we go to Rome. We didn't know it was a transvestite, trans gay bar. You know, it's right down the street from our hotel. It just said the Paris Piano Bar. Now, I thought that's a little weird, Paris and Rome, but that's the only thing that I was concerned about. So Sue and I go in there. I wanted a cocktail. You know, it's hard to get like a real drink in Rome because everything's wine. And, you know, there's only so much red wine you can drink, you know. So I'm a vodka drinker. I wanted a cocktail. So I told Sue after we had dinner, I said, hey, there's a bar down here. Let's go have a drink. So we go in there, and the person that greets us at the door is about 6'2", has a long dress on, high heels, and his voice was like Louis Armstrong. If you know who Louis Armstrong is, he had a very deep voice. All right, come sit here. You know, and I was like, ooh, this is kind of weird. And there was like hardly anybody in there. And it was like 11 o'clock at night. And I order a cocktail. My wife orders a glass of wine. And we're looking around and saying, I don't know about this bar. And on the other side of the room was, I think, five quote-unquote women. I don't know what they were. Sitting at a table, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird. But you know what? We stayed. Because I'm doing research for the show, because we talk about all the crazy wokeness and gender stuff and everything else, so I'm going to do some research. No, I actually really wanted a cocktail. That's the reason I stayed. So after two drinks, my wife had one wine, I had two drinks. I'm starting to feel a little uncomfortable in this place. So I go and pay $50. That's strip club prices, so you know you're in a some kind of a nightclub of some kind. And then we're finishing a drink, and then this pretty sexy looking quote unquote girl, woman, whatever, comes over and sits next to Sue and starts like trying to come on to us. You know, like, you guys want to go in the back or whatever and everything else. So after we were done going in the back, no, we didn't go in the back. we said, no, thank you. We'll pass on it. Then we left. So that was probably the most interesting story I have. The day Sue and I in Rome were at a transvestite gay bar. And I don't even know what it was. I mean, was it gay? Was it transvestite? It was certainly LGBTQ LMNOP plus 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 zero zero. So that's my Rome story. I couldn't wait to share that with you. Sue said you shouldn't share that with your listeners, but I share everything with my listeners here. So anyway, we had a great trip. Great to be home. Everybody says the same thing. You know, it's great to go away, but, you know, we were ready to come home the last 2 days. We probably could have came home 2 days earlier because we had it with wine, pasta and pizza and all that other stuff. So we did go to Rome. We went to Lake Como, which was very nice, very relaxing. It's a good step down from the craziness of Rome because Rome will eat you up. I mean, there's a lot of walking. That's the one thing. We walked 5 miles a day at least. So I figured out in 12 days, we walked 60 miles. I mean, we walked from my house in Barnegat to New York City, the whole thing. That's the only thing that kept my weight down. Now, when I left 2 weeks ago, I said my goal was to gain 10 pounds. That if I didn't gain 10 pounds, then I didn't do it right. Well, because of all the walking, I only gained 3. So I think that's a victory. I'll take that down the line. My wife, she didn't gain a pound. And she could use to gain it. And she could actually, it would do her well to gain a pound or two. Anyway, great to be back with you. I'm chomping at the bit. So much to talk about while I was gone. 1 week is a long time with news and everything else. 2 weeks, forget about it. I spent 5 hours preparing for the show today, and I'm not going to get to half of it. Even at 4:30 this morning, I was on my computer printing stuff out. So let's talk about the first thing, the big story while I was gone, is the Federal Reserve raising interest rates again and the effect it had on financial markets. Now, this was not a surprise. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday raised interest rates by another 75 basis points. 75 basis points is 0.75%. All right. So every basis point is 0.01%. So whenever you hear a basis point, it's a fraction of 1%. So 75 basis points is 0.75%. So they raised it to fight the Biden inflation. And now the federal funds rate, which is what they control, is now in a range of 3% to 3.25%, the highest level we've seen since 2008. 30-year fixed rate mortgages hit 6.25% this week. Again, it wasn't long ago that it was under 3%. I mean, so this is a big deal. And mortgage rates are going even higher. We're going to talk about the effect on the housing market. The Dow tumbled 1,000 points in the 2 days following the announcement, Thursday and Friday. Wednesday afternoon, it was down. The markets had an awful week. The markets are in turmoil right now. And we'll discuss what I think is going to happen with it in just a second. And what really concerned the markets is that the Federal Reserve indicated that it's going to keep hiking well above the current level, which is really causing turmoil in markets, turmoil in mortgages, turmoil in the housing market, to bring down inflation. And inflation is running the highest we've seen since the 1980s. But the problem is the Fed can't raise interest rates enough to fight the inflation. Well, they can, because if they raise it any more than that, maybe they don't have to. We're going to have a total implosion of the economy, a total implosion of financial markets. Oh, that'll fight inflation. If we all get poor and we all have no money to buy anything, well, prices will come down. But that's the price you pay to fight inflation. Now, the Federal Reserve caused this inflation in the first place. Now, 2 weeks ago, I told you, we were talking about the Federal Reserve, how it's unconstitutional, how they have so much power, they're not elected by anybody, they don't answer to anybody. And in 10 years of zero interest rates, quantitative easing, printing money, the Federal Reserve's, the federal government spending money like a drunk sailor, caused this inflation. And now they're going to destroy all of our lives, our wealth, our livelihoods to fix it. They should have been raising interest rates a year or two ago when inflation was just starting. Remember they said, oh, it was transitory, it's temporary. I told you on this program it wasn't. Why am I so smart and the Federal Reserve that has every economist in the world, the top ones, saying it's transitory? I'm telling you it's not transitory. It's here to stay and it's going to get worse. Little old me, I knew that. And they didn't. Of course they did. They knew, they didn't care. And now they're saying, oh my God, what do we do about this? So they're going to raise interest rates. They basically indicated about another 1.5% this year. The markets can't handle it. The housing market can't handle it. The stock market can't handle it. The bond market can't handle it. And they're going to continue to do it. They're not even going to wait to see how these, so far, these cuts, these interest rates increases are going to affect the economy. You don't get an immediate reaction to it. It takes time to filter in where inflation will start coming down. It'll have to, because there's going to be, first of all, we're seeing housing inflation. We're seeing the housing market crash right now. And it's a deliberate thing that the Fed is doing. So the Fed said they're going to raise, right now, interest rate range right now is 3 to 3.25. They're saying they're going to keep hiking rates until it hits a terminal rate of 4.6% in 2023. I can't believe they're going to get that far. Now, just realize, it's not going to really affect inflation unless they crash the economy. That's the only way they're going to battle inflation, is to crash everything. To destroy your wealth, to destroy your 401k, to destroy your, the value of your house, to take away your job. And that's exactly what they said. They said, we're going to have unemployment. It's going to happen. That's the price we have to pay for this. Now, they're raising interest rates into a recession. If there was a school, a university, to teach central bankers anything, the first thing they would teach you is you don't raise interest rates into a declining economy. You raise interest rates into a growing economy that's overgrowing. And that's what they should have been doing 2 years ago. But because of the COVID pandemic and everything else, they did just the opposite. They printed money. They funded the federal deficit and all the stimulus package with printed money. Kept interest rates at zero, and now we have the obvious and inevitable economic reality, which is inflation. The Atlanta, we've had 2 quarters of negative GDP growth. The definition of inflation, unless you're the Biden administration and you just ignore historical definitions and say that's not an inflation. Well, the Atlanta Fed predicted that GDP will be negative for the third straight quarter, the next quarter. And they're right. They know these things. They're very, very close on this. So we're going to have 3 quarters of negative growth. Is the Biden administration and Biden himself going to admit that we're in a recession or just continue to deny it? The recession is real. It's here. And in my view, depression is likely. That's how bad things are going to get. And recently, Democrats blew another $700 billion in green energy spending and called it the Inflation Reduction Act. And this is supposedly what Biden calls progress. It's just amazing what's going on. And the Fed knows exactly what they're doing. They're destroying the economy. And they know they are. And they know that millions of Americans are going to lose their jobs. The housing market's going to get crushed. And just realize the last financial crisis, what triggered it? The housing market. What's going to happen to mortgage bonds when people start defaulting on their mortgages? The same thing that happened in 2008 times 10. But they don't care. It's all about inflation right now. And they're hell-bent on continuing to raise interest rates. Now, the markets reacted violently to this because it wasn't the fact that the Fed raised interest rates 0.75%. That wasn't the issue. It was expected. It was the hawkish attitude that Powell took and the Fed took going forward, indicating that they're going to continue to do this, regardless of what's going on. And, you know, markets know that, you know, you don't raise interest rates in the face of a recession. You just don't do it. But they're hell-bent on doing it. I mean, it's really economic malpractice, in my opinion. And every Fed official knows what has happened in the past when you raise interest rates during an economic slowdown. And the American people now are getting, should be, if they're not, deeply alarmed by this because this is a big deal. And you know what? It was a unanimous vote of the Fed. There was not one dissenting voice on the Federal Reserve that we shouldn't do this. And I think the Fed's gone completely mad. Now, they went completely mad keeping interest rates at zero for 12 years. They went completely mad by doing quantitative easing and printing all that money. That was maddening and that was crazy and that was stupid. But now what they're doing by raising interest rates into a recession, I mean, it's crazy. And Wall Street didn't like it. There's an old adage in the markets that says, don't fight the Fed. Meaning the Fed has all power, and they do. When they have zero interest rates, low interest rates, they're lowering interest rates, they're printing money, assets go up. You want to buy the stock market. You want to buy the bond market. You want to invest in housing. Money's got to go somewhere, and it bids up prices. The economy grows because interest rates are low. People can afford a bigger house because mortgage rates are lower and so forth, and it all flows through the economy. So you don't fight the Fed. If the Fed is accommodative or dovish, these are the words that they use when they're lowering interest rates and they're helping the economy and the market. You don't fight that. You take the ride with them. But when they start tightening, that's a signal to the markets that the opposite's going to happen, that asset prices are going to go down. And that's what they want. They want asset prices to go down. Housing inflation was a big issue because of them. You had mortgage rates at 2.5, 2.75, 2.75. It bid up housing. You could afford more housing, right? It flows through the economy, through commodity prices, through home builders, furniture stores, people sell carpet. All this stuff flows through. And now they're doing the opposite. So Wall Street, the Dow plunged hundreds of points immediately after it was announced. We were down Thursday. We were down Friday. And my guess is that we will continue the sell-off on Wall Street until the Fed pivots and says, you know what, maybe we've gone too far. And eventually they'll say that. I don't think they're going to get to 4.6% on interest rates because I think the markets and the economy are going to crash so hard that they're going to have to say, wait a second, let's just hold off for a while. Or even lower interest rates in the face of a crisis. And a crisis is coming, in my opinion. And I don't really care about the markets. You know, we manage our clients' money properly. We've had our clients safe most of this year, so we're not getting hurt. But the fact is, I'm more concerned about what will happen to ordinary, hardworking American families in the months ahead, because this is painful. And Jerome Powell, in the news conference after they raised interest rates, admitted that there's going to be an increase in unemployment. His quote was, I think there's a very high likelihood we will have a period of much lower growth and it can give rise to an increase in unemployment. Do you think? We're having a rise in unemployment right now. Every day, more corporations are announcing layoffs. Now, you don't see it in the unemployment rate, which is only 3.7 or whatever it is. That's bull. The actual unemployment rate's over 20%. If you calculate it the way we used to calculate it, not the fudge numbers that the Bureau of Labor Statistics give us. So Democrats aren't happy about this. Going into a midterm election, crashing the economy, hyperinflation, all these things that are going on. So after the rate hike was announced, Senator Elizabeth Warren, I'm not a big fan of hers, but I agree with this statement. The Federal Reserve's Chair Powell just announced another extreme interest rate hike while forecasting higher unemployment. I've been warning that Chair Powell's Fed would throw millions of Americans out of work, and I fear he's already on the path to doing so. And again, this is one of the rare occasions that Elizabeth Warren is right on target, and I agree with it. And I believe they should pause right now. They probably shouldn't even have raised, but they're hell-bent. So why would the Federal Reserve choose to raise rates when layoffs are already beginning to spike? I can't remember the Fed ever raising rates into a recession. Higher rates are also devastating, as I said, the housing market. Last week we learned that sales of existing homes have fallen for 7 months in a row. Home sales declined for a seventh month in a row in August as higher mortgage rates and stubbornly high prices push prospective buyers out of the market. Sales of existing homes, which include single-family homes, townhomes, condominiums, and co-ops, are down 20% from a year ago and 0.4% from July. You know, you see these stickers on gas pumps, right? Biden did this, you know. I did this, you know. He's pointing to the price. Someone should come up with a Jerome Powell sticker saying I did this and put it all around the country. Put a sticker on everybody's homes. And it really didn't have to happen. If the Fed managed the economy properly, when things were growing, the stock market was going up, the economy was booming under Trump, they should have started raising rates gently at that point. But they didn't. So the Fed is engineering what's called a hard landing. You know, a lot of people talk a soft landing, a hard landing. A soft landing never happens. It's bull. A soft landing means they raise interest rates. The economy slows down a little bit of unemployment, but nothing serious. Well, these kind of interest rate hikes are not going to give you a soft landing in the economy. It's going to give you a hard landing, and that's what they're engineering. And let me tell you, you think times are tough now? Times are going to get a lot tougher from here. And the worst people, the people who are feeling it worst are lower and middle income people who this inflation affects more than anybody. Yeah, rich people can handle higher prices. They got the money. They could even, high-end homes are still going up. You know why? Because rich people don't get mortgages. They buy for cash. So they don't have to say, I can't buy this house because it's $1 million and my payments are going to be too high. Rich people pay cash. And I tell you, I think we are set up now for a meltdown in the economy and the markets like we've never seen before. And we're starting to see it already. So let's look at financial markets this week. Awful week for financial markets. It's been a couple of weeks in a row. The Dow Jones Industrial Average for the week was down 4%. The S&P was down 4.65%. And the NASDAQ was down 5%. For the week. Now, you don't think that sounds significant. It is. You have a stock market go down 5% in a year. It's a big deal. So let's look year to date. Year to date, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 18.6%. That's the best index. The S&P 500 is down 22.5% for the year. And the NASDAQ is down 31% for the year. I mean, these are huge declines. And what does that mean? It means that most Americans' 401ks have taken this hit, and sometimes even greater than this. I can't believe what I'm seeing now. Clients are coming in to see me, new clients, who are ready to retire or are retiring. And I'm looking at their statement on their 401k, and I see year-to-date the disaster that's happened to them just prior to retirement. A, that's because they had too much exposure to the stock market, which I talk about all the time on this program for years. And they're getting devastated just prior to retirement or as they're retiring. But I'm telling you, this is just the beginning. This is a very typical crash scenario. I've seen it. I've been in this business 40 years. I've seen the crash of 87. I lived through it. I was setting up my firm at the time. I'll never forget it. I lived through the crash, the dot-com crash in the 90s. I lived through the 2008 crash. And these crashes happen. It seems to happen September, October. Don't ask me why. I can't tell you why. It's always September, October that we get these big crashes. But typically when a crash happens, you have a downturn in September, a significant one. It's gradual, though. It's not like a crash where in one day or 2 days the market collapses. I mean, being down 4% in a week, it's significant, or 5% in a week, it's significant. But it's not a crash. A crash in 87, we were down 22% in a day. Now, do I think that's going to happen again? No, it can't happen because there's all these circuit breakers in the market now. The market will close. After certain, I have to dig up the circuit breakers because I think we're going to be talking about them a lot in the financial markets. You're going to hear it on financial news. But this is not over, in my opinion. These markets are treacherous right now. They're still way overvalued. We got company after company coming out and adjusting their earnings forecast. We had Federal Express come out. Federal Express had the worst day 2 weeks ago than it had in its history. Down something like 12% or something like that. Because they came out and said, look, the global economy is imploding. Our revenues are dropping. That tells you something. The housing market, 6.25% mortgages. Who's going to rent out and buy a house with 6.25%? Do you know what that means? You know, the payments on homes have gone up like $700 a month with these mortgage rates. Boy, just 6 months ago, 7 months ago, people were paying over asking price. I know somebody who paid $50,000 over asking price for a home because there was 28 bidders. And boy, now with these rapid interest rate increases and rapid mortgage increases, it's just the opposite. People are lowering their prices because nobody wants to buy. They can't afford it. Bond rates are soaring as bond prices go down. The 10-year Treasury bond, 3.69%. It was up to 3.80. 2 years ago, the 10-year Treasury yielded a half a point. We're at 3.69. More concerning is the 2-year, the shorter-term Treasury debt, is 4.20. That's an inverted yield curve. Always portends recession or worse. So financial markets are dangerous right now. And don't think because the market's down 20 to 30% that it can't go down 50%, 60% or more. Dow Jones Industrial Average cracked 30,000. It's 29,500 and something as we speak. You know, if the markets just closed, it was the end of the year right now, this would be the worst year in stock market history. As far as returns go. Well, that's pretty scary. But let me tell you something. It's going lower. In my opinion. I don't see what could rescue this market right now. You got the Fed hell-bent on continuing to destroy the economy through higher interest rates. Where's mortgage rates going to go? 7, 7.5, 8? Boy, I remember in 1980, they were like 13% to get a mortgage. And it looks like the Fed is purposely. They didn't come out on their news conference or anything and just say, you know what, we're going to see what happens with the economy before we make any decisions going forward with interest rates. The market would have loved that. No, they purposely came out and said, we are going to continue to raise interest rates. It's going to cause unemployment. It's going to cause problems in the economy and the markets, but we don't care. They didn't really say it that way, but in essence, that's what they said. Oil is continuing to fall. Oil closed on Friday at $79.43 a barrel. It wasn't long ago. It was $125. Gasoline prices are down to $3.60. Now, why is oil and gasoline going down? Because Biden is dumping a strategic energy reserve. I mean, they're flooding the market with gasoline and oil just before an election. Boy, that's a smart thing to do. Let's just take all our reserves and just flood the market, and now we'll have no reserves, and if anything happens, we're screwed. You want to talk about disingenuous at best? I mean, this is totally political. It makes no sense. We haven't been this low in a strategic energy reserve in 50 years. All due to manipulate you and me to thinking that, oh, inflation isn't so bad. Look, the price of gasoline is going down. Thank you, Biden. But everything else is going up. An analysis was done recently on inflation, and Americans are set to fork out an extra $11,500 this year if they want to enjoy the same standard of living they maintained in 2020. This comes from NerdWallet. I mean, $11,500 more to live at the same standard of living as 2 years ago. In all of 2020, American households spent on average $61,300 to live. It includes everything. Housing, food, entertainment, clothing, transportation, everything else. It cost the average American family in 2020 $61,300. For the same standard of living in 2022, you need $72,900, $11,500 more. So that's $961 more a month to live. I don't think wages have gone up that much. Of course they have not. Monthly spending on groceries is up $101 a month. Shelter is up $120 a month. Utilities are up $70 a month. And gasoline is up $209 a month. Oh, by the way, be prepared this winter to see the most outrageous electric and natural gas bills you've ever seen in your life. Now, it's worse in Europe. I mean, I was in Italy and talking to people there. Energy is the big topic. Well, what do you want? They shot themselves in the foot. The European Union put sanctions on Russia, and Russia said, okay, no oil for you or no natural gas for you. The Nord Stream 1 pipeline is producing zero. They just shut it off. Talk about a self-inflicted wound. And we're going to talk later in the show about Putin and Russia, they're threatening thermonuclear war. And nobody's trying to talk peace here. We'll leave that for later in the program. Forget the economy. Thermonuclear war, I think, is worse than raising interest rates, right? Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden was on 60 Minutes last week. I don't know if anybody saw that interview. Obviously, that was heavily edited because it wasn't live, because God knows the gaps and things they took out to make him look good. By the way, I think Joe Biden asked the host how long the show was. but on 60 Minutes, he said that inflation hasn't spiked in recent months and remains basically even. That's they're looking at it. They talk about disingenuous. They're looking at it month to month. All right, it didn't go up too much month over month, so, you know, inflation's good. It's unbelievable. One good thing about inflation, Costco came out this week and said they're not going to change the price of their $1.50 hot dog and soda combination, so that's good. So I suggest most, especially low-income families, get a Costco membership and take your family to Costco every night. And for $1.50, you get a hot dog and a soda, a family of four, $6. Right? And you can feed your family. Another thing at Costco that they haven't changed is the $5.99 5-pound rotisserie chicken, right? That's they lose money on every one of those chickens. You know that, right? But it gets you in the store to buy other things. Think about it. This big cooked chicken, you could feed your whole family with it for $5.99, right? make a potato, and, you know, you can live at Costco. Go to lunch for $1.50 hot dog and soda combination. And you could have a chicken every night for $5.99. I wonder how many people actually do that. So Costco doing the right thing there when it comes to feeding you. All right, so inflation's the big story. Interest rates now going to the moon until they don't, until the Fed gets scared. And let me tell you, I told you 2 weeks ago when I was explaining the Federal Reserve to you how much power they have. Now, if you think you live in a democracy or even a republic, well, think again, because you have an unelected board of governors of the Federal Reserve that could intentionally destroy the value of your house and have you lose your job. Now, I just said that low-income Americans are feeling inflation more than anything. How about no-income Americans when you lose your job? What do you do then? You lose your house, you lose everything. So we're heading for an economic crash. We're heading for a stock market crash. We already have one, but it's not over yet. And what we're witnessing now reminds me a lot of 2008, but worse. Now, every economic crisis is different. You can never compare exactly. This one's going to be different. It's going to be unique. But I'm telling you, I've got 40 years experience in this business. I've felt this feeling, and I haven't felt good about it. And I've been right most of the time when I get these feelings that we're going to have. Next week will be interesting to see if there's follow-through on the sell side. We haven't had the panic yet. And until you get the panic, you don't hit the bottom. About half of all U.S. companies said they're going to eliminate jobs in the next 12 months. But that's what the government wants. That's what the Fed wants. The number of Americans taking out short-term loans for groceries or using credit cards has doubled this year. It looks like close to 4 million Americans believe that they're going to be evicted from their homes within the next 2 months because they can't pay their rent or they can't pay their mortgage. 20 million U.S. households are currently behind on their utility bills, and that's before the winter bills start coming in. I mean, I could spend the whole show talking about negative economic numbers. One recent poll found that only 36% of all parents will be able to pay for everything their kids need for school this year. 36%. And they're going to get worse. All right, let's take a break. 732-237-9626 is our call number if you want to be part of the program. My name is Lou Skatigner, and you're listening to The Financial Physician. Don't go away.
Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer, a family-owned and operated premier septic installation and repair company with more than a decade of experience in the septic services. Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer provides full-service maintenance and cleaning services, pumping septic tanks, repairing broken sewer lines, cleaning of grease tanks for restaurants, as well as real estate septic inspections, repairs, and installations. Phone 732-600-8721 or go to jerseyshoreseptic.com to learn more. Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer, top-quality work at the most affordable rates.
Although customers were already going online more and more over the past 5 years, the amount of people doing business online has skyrocketed since the pandemic hit. Visit mylocalcustomers.com. Hi, Shawn Michaels to tell you, if you're a business owner here at the Jersey Shore, Town Square can help you find local customers online. Town Square can help you grow your business faster. Premium website services, new leads every day, no contracts, subscriptions you can cancel anytime. Visit mylocalcustomers.com. That's mylocalcustomers.com. For details.
Do you have a home to sell? Do you need to buy a home? Or maybe you would like to consider a career in real estate? Well, you need to contact my brother, Mark Skatigna. He's the broker manager of Coldwell Banker Flanagan Realty on Route 70 in Manchester. Mark has helped so many of my clients with either the sale of their home or to purchase a new home. All of them could not have been happier with his help. What about an exciting new career in real estate? Maybe you're finding you have more time on your hands than you would like to after retiring from your full-time job and are also looking to make some extra income. With flexible hours to still enjoy your free time and income, income that could be limitless, Mark could train you to be as successful as you would like to be and enjoy a rewarding career in real estate. For help with any of your real estate needs, as well as any information on a career in real estate, call my brother Mark Skatigna at Coldwell Banker Flanagan Realty. His number is 732-657-6200. That's 732-657-6200. Mark Skatigna, Coldwell Banker Flanagan Realty. Give him a call. You'll be happy you did.
Are you currently retired or planning to retire in the next 5 years? Hey, Lou Skatigna here, certified financial planner, personal finance author, president of AFM Investments, and host of The Financial Physician. Why not join me for a comprehensive financial review at my downtown Toms River office? Banks are paying virtually nothing, and the stock market has become a risky casino. But there are ways to achieve reasonable returns without taking on big risks. Let me show you how. During our meeting, I will determine your net worth, find ways to maximize your income, and minimize your taxes. I'll review your estate plan and discuss strategies to protect your estate from nursing home costs. Managing your finances is more complicated than ever, but you don't have to go it alone. So make your no-obligation appointment today by calling 732-905-8100. That's 732-905-8100. Securities transactions through Lee Baldwin & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Registered advisory services through Fortitude Advisory Group.
Call the Financial Physician now at 732-237-9626. Here's Lou Skatigna.
All right. Welcome back to the Stinger Bar, as we call the Financial Physician. Great to be live with you again after being in Italy the last 2 weeks. 732-237-9626 is the call number. If you're just joining us now and you missed the beginning of the program, we were talking about inflation, the Fed, interest rates, the markets, and you didn't miss it because you could always go to thefinancialphysician.com and listen to the podcast of our show, which Paul puts up right after the show's over. So 9 o'clock, 9:05, 9:10, the latest, you'll be able to go to thefinancialphysician.com. Just link over to Podomatic and just go to the most recent show. And you'll be able to listen to our program. And so many of you do listen to the podcast. Appreciate that. Share it with people you think can benefit by it. That's thefinancialphysician.com. Love your emails, Lou at thefinancialphysician.com. I answer each and every email. Now, last 2 weeks, I've been out of town, and I don't really have access, very good access to my emails when I'm overseas. So if you sent me an email the last 2 weeks, I'll get back to you probably tomorrow. I'm going to catch up on all my emails and I'll answer it. But I answer each and every email. If you have a personal finance question that I could help you with, you got a question about the markets or what to do with your 401k, I'm telling you now, people, you know, if you're just sitting there like a deer in the headlights and you're afraid about the markets, your 401k, you have to get advice right now, all right? You have to do something. Now, nobody could see the future clearly, certainly not I, but I've been doing this for 4 decades. I've been in this business. I know markets, and I know the economy, and I know the Federal Reserve, and I know what transpires in a rising interest rate environment. The risk of a major, major disaster in the markets, in the economy, is great. Does that mean it'll happen? Not necessarily. But if the risk was high, say the risk was 35% that your house was going to burn down because you have all these dead bushes around the outside of your house. Would you do something about it? Would you cut down those dead shrubs all around your house that may cause fire? Yes, of course. And that's the same thing now. People, you have to protect what you have. Because everything you own now as an asset is going down and will continue to. Your home, not much you could do about that unless you really wanted to sell it right now and get out of it. That window is closed pretty much. The opportunity to refinance your house, you know, refinancings are down 90%. Well, who's going to refinance? If you didn't refinance, you know, you're not going to refinance at 6.25. I mean, nobody even had 6.25 mortgages to refinance down. So there's no refinancing going on now. There's little in the way of home purchases right now because interest rates are so high. And my advice is that, you know, do not buy a house now. Don't even think about it until the housing prices come down, which they're going to, they're continuing to do, or mortgage rates go down. You know, the average mortgage payment has risen 38.5% in the last year. Think about that. It used to be the average mortgage payment in America was $1,700 a month. Now it's 2,306. That's unbelievable. That's $606 more per month. Just for a mortgage payment, not counting groceries and gasoline and everything else. Boy, if you work in the mortgage industry, I really feel bad for you right now because you're in trouble. Your job is in trouble. And this is the sharpest downturn we've seen in the housing market since the crash of 2008. And it's just starting. Billionaire Barry Sternlicht, never heard his name before, but good for him. He said on CNBC this week that he believes that the Fed's policies will cause, quote, major crash in the housing market. And he also warned that we will soon find ourselves in a serious recession. We're there now. We've had two quarters of negative GDP growth. We've had the stock market down 20-30%. We have unemployment rising, housing prices crashing. What do you mean we may soon be in a serious recession? We may soon be in a serious depression. And as people start to lose their jobs, people are going to start losing their homes. Thank you, Federal Reserve. Thank you, Jerome Powell. And this is the times in life when, you know, as a financial planner, as a certified financial planner for 35 years, I've always told people come to me and say, look, I got $5,000 I'd like to invest. What do you think? And I say, well, how much is in your emergency fund? What do you mean? Well, how much do you have set aside in case you lose your job? Oh, well, nothing really. That's the $5,000 I have. No, you can't invest that money. Now is the time to build up an emergency fund, so you can continue to pay your bills no matter what comes along. It'll also keep you from losing your house. Unfortunately, too many Americans, 66% or something, are paycheck to paycheck and have no savings. And when hard times come, you're in trouble. And I don't want to be such a negative person. I hate to do that to you. It's Sunday morning. I hate to depress you. But now's the time to batten down the financial hatches, because a storm is coming. 732-237-9626. Let's go to our first call today. It's Mike in Weartown. Mike, how are you today? Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Good. I've worked over 20 years. Now I'm on Social Security disability. And I think the lady from Social Security or food stamps said I can't have more than $2,000 in the bank resources. I have a savings account.
All right. So what's the question?
Well, they told me that I have $1,000-something in the bank. I can't have more than $2,000 in the bank. I'm on disability. I get SSI and SSD.
All right, so don't have $2,000 in the bank.
Just keep it under that, right?
Keep it under that and keep the rest in a shoebox in your bed, under your bed.
That's what I'm doing. I'm saving the other money from the money we got from the stimulus checks and everything.
Good. But just keep it out of the system. There's no value there. I'm not an expert on disability and the rules regarding it. I know there is income limits and there's certain limits to it. But the fact is, if the limit is $2,000, you don't keep more than $2,000.
Keep more than right.
And you just keep.
And I'm saving the stimulus money. I'm setting that aside, but I'm not saying anything. I keep it, somewhere hidden, real good.
Yeah, and use cash. You know, if you need to buy something, use that cash. Don't put it in the bank account and write a check. Use cash while you still have the ability to do so before the Federal Reserve digital currency comes out and we're not allowed to have any cash, and then we're all under the microscope, right? You won't be able to get away from that. So that's a whole other subject. But follow the rules. You don't want to lose your benefits because, you have $2,100 in the bank. How they would know that, I don't know how they know that stuff, if they do or not. But,
I have a new electric company now. I still have JCP&L. And my bills were usually $20-something. Now they're like $40, $50 the electric bill. It's called Clean Energy now, but it's still JCP&L.
Well, that's pretty good. I wish I was paying $40 a month for my electric bill.
All right, Lou.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
All right, Mike. Yeah, good luck. I want to bring to your attention something that I'm getting a lot of emails. My office got a lot of calls this week, and that's regarding what's replacing the homestead rebate here in New Jersey, and it's called the Anchor program. And people are getting these applications in the mail right now for the Anchor program. What is the Anchor program? Well, the Anchor program replaces the homestead rebate, and it's great. I mean, it's a real big help to a lot of people. The deadline for filing this is the end of the year, December 30th. All right, so you got time to do this. Now, they're mailing out these applications now. Now, you got to do it online for the most part. But they mail you the PIN and, you know, everything you need to know to do this, just like they did with the homestead rebate. If you remember, you used to get the square envelope. It was green and white. This one's purple and white, and it's called the Anchor program. So who's eligible for this? Well, homeowners with incomes of $150,000 or less will get $1,500. That's pretty good. Homeowners with incomes between $150,000 and $250,000 are going to get $1,000. And renters with incomes of $150,000 or less are going to get $450. So this is a new program that the state of New Jersey is instituting now for the first time. And it's a big deal. And a lot of people don't know anything about it. And they're starting to get these things in the mail and they don't know what to do. Eligible homeowners can apply online, by phone, or upload a mail or paper application. Now, it's pretty complicated. I mean, I've been reading through this stuff this week, and I only got back from Italy on Friday, so I'm trying to catch up on this. If you go to the New Jersey Division of Taxation, they have all the information you need on how to apply. Now, if you did not get the application yet, do not fret. They're sending them out in stages. I think you have to wait till at least October 10th before you start calling and saying, I didn't get the application. So what happens is you go to a website, you get your PIN and your sign-in number, you apply that way. And it's a pretty, pretty good program. We're going to learn more about it this week, so I can give you more information about it. But I just wanted to touch base on it. Some frequently asked questions was, when do I apply? You got till December 30th. Now, they're not – in the past, the homestead benefit program would just lower your property taxes. They would give you a credit on it in the second quarter of the year. This is not the case with this. They're going to give you a direct deposit or a check, kind of like the stimulus. You're just going to get the money. It says here on their website, we are currently mailing Anchor benefit information mailers to homeowners and tenants. Allow until the first week in October to receive your mailer. Homeowners who filed the homestead benefit application last year may be able to obtain their ID and PIN numbers online. Tenants do not need an ID or PIN number to file. Visit the division's Anchor page for all filing information. Now, they're warning you. Due to high call volume, the Anchor and Homestead Benefit Hotline may be unable to take your call at certain times. So don't even bother calling. You're not going to get through. And there's lots of rules here. If you shared ownership with the home, you have to file a paper application. If your home was a unit in a multi-unit property that you own and your house is one of them, you got to file a paper application. What if – now, this is for 2019, by the way. This is the 2019 benefit. I mean, we're in 2022. Don't ask me why we're back in 2019, but it is. And if you lived in a New Jersey property on October 1st, 2019, even though you moved away, even though you died, your estate can get the money. You just had to own a home, lived in a home by October 1st, 2019. Your estate or yourself are eligible for this program if you come within the income limitations, which are pretty pretty liberal. So if you're an executor, you could file on behalf of a deceased homeowner, but you have to use a paper application. How do you get it? You know, there's all kinds of questions on this. And you don't have to be a current resident to apply. Then there's different rules for divorcees and so forth and so on. So there's a lot of different scenarios here. Go to New Jersey Division of Taxation /anchor, or just do a Google search on the anchor benefit program, and you'll be able to file for it. $1,500, a lot of money. A lot of money. And most people will qualify for it in New Jersey. So I didn't get my application yet. I'm not going to qualify for it, but I didn't get it yet, so I've been looking in my mailbox to see if I got it. I haven't had it yet. But whether you own a home or you're renting an apartment or a home, you're going to get some money from the state. Where's this money coming from? I don't know. I mean, it's not like the state is in the best financial situation. I don't know. Anyway, I mentioned in the beginning of the program that the Fed's raising interest rates in the face of a recession. The Atlanta Federal Reserve came out this week and said the third quarter is going to be negative again. So that'll be the third quarter in a row where we have negative growth. Although the administration doesn't believe that we're in a recession. So just say it's not happening, and it's not happening. Right? Just like I don't know what a woman is. I can't define a woman. We have a Supreme Court justice now in her confirmation hearings that could not define what a woman was. So how do we define a recession? Whatever we want it to be. Even though a recession for decades has always been two quarters of economic negative growth. Well, now we're going to have three. Are they going to admit it's a recession then? No, it's not a recession. Yeah, because it's a depression. So Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, black woman, homosexual, check all the boxes, is totally a fish out of water in this job. But anyway, she just goes to her book real quick. What should I say when someone asks me a question? So she says this week when she was asked about the economy and the recession, she said that we are in a transition to a steady, stable growth. Now, no serious person believes her, but that's what they do and they lie. This was her quote. What we are seeing is a transition to a more steady and stable growth, and that's what we're currently seeing. Oh, really? Okay. If you believe that, nobody else does. Another sign of recession, you remember, it wasn't long ago, right? We had all these container ships off California. There was like 185 waiting to be unloaded. And now there's eight. Only eight. Why is there only eight? Because import demand is going down. People are not spending money anymore. And people who run these ports are saying we have never seen the collapse of the magnitude that we're witnessing on imports. And that's always a sign that we're looking at a recession. Also, major companies, retail companies, Walmart, Target, Kohl's, Under Armour, they're all canceling import orders because demand is so bad. And this is just prior to the holiday season. You don't see a Walmart cutting orders, billions, tens of billions of dollars worth of orders, because they don't want to be stuck with this inventory. They know people are just paying just enough to put gas in their car, pay their rent, and put food on the table, that they're not buying clothing that they don't need. They're not buying stuff they don't need. They're not buying electronics. So they're rapidly canceling all these orders. Another sign of economic collapse. Anyway, top of the hour, 732-237-9626 is our call number if you want to be part of our program. My name is Lou Scatigna. You're listening to The Financial Physician. Don't go away. It's
It's time for Americans to grow up and become financially responsible.
Let's talk about something important.
If you're in it for the money, that's not a bad thing.
Do you realize how much money he just saved us?
This is The Financial Physician with Lou Scatigna.
The Financial Physician. It's the fastest hour in money talk radio.
It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates.
This is financial advice you can take to the bank.
He's your money man.
Show me the money.
Your source for straightforward, no-nonsense financial advice.
Bring me your money questions because I'm here to help.
And now, here he is, the financial physician, America's money doctor, Lou Scatigna.
All right, time for hour two of this thing we do each and every Sunday for 2 hours, the Financial Physician radio program, where we talk money, markets, politics, current events, and anything that affects your life. Lou Scatigna here, certified financial planner and your money doctor, each and every Sunday live here on 92.7 WOBM FM, and that is 7 to 9 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you want to listen live, you could listen to the program if you're local, or you can listen to it on the live stream that I have at thefinancialphysician.com. Just click on the Listen Live button between 7 and 9 Eastern time, and you can listen live to it. I actually listened to the show, the tape show, last weekend, last Sunday. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was in Bologna, Italy, and I turned on the live stream, and I was listening to my own program when I was in Italy. Kind of cool. I kind of get a kick out of that, knowing that anywhere in the world you can listen to the program at thefinancialphysician.com, where we have the live feed. But if you are just waking up, just tuning in, driving down the parkway, just stumbled upon our program, our show is unique. We talk about a lot of different things on this program. We don't hold back. We're not politically correct. We don't censor ourselves. Paul's laughing over there. Yeah, you're not politically correct, Lou, that's for sure. So we're not afraid, at least not now. We'll see what happens on a month's end. But I've already been shut down by YouTube. I'm banned for life because of a year and a half ago, I questioned the election results on a YouTube video. It was an actual video of this program, and they banned me for life recently. So they went back a year and a half and found somebody made a complaint. So I can't even access my own videos on YouTube. It's ridiculous, the censorship that's going on. But we've been bringing you this program. Paul, last Saturday, actually, September 17th, was the 22nd anniversary of this program. Right? And you were there in the beginning when we started this. Hard to believe that we've been doing this show for 22 years, and we're into our 23rd year now. Those of you who listened to me here on 92.7 are probably saying, I never heard of you before. Well, that's because we were on the AM station for 21 and a half years. So if you don't listen, you didn't listen to the 1160 AM, which is the AM station for WOBM, then you probably never heard of me. But yeah, we've been on this station 22 years, bringing you this program in one form or the other, going back to September 17th, 2000. And here we are 22 years later, bringing you that program. So we are not new to the station. I think besides Kevin Williams, I'm probably the longest running broadcaster still broadcasting on this program, on this station. So great to have you. If you're new to the program, thanks for joining us. If you miss any of the program, just go to thefinancialphysician.com where we have the podcast of the program so you can listen to the show, the full two-hour show, in pieces or anytime you want at thefinancialphysician.com. And I know many of you tell me you listen to the podcast because you can't get up that early or you're not in our listening area. Many of you had followed me for the years I was on Sirius XM on the national program, and many of you around the country still listen to the show on the podcast. Do appreciate it. Share it with people that you think can benefit by it. Love your emails, lou@thefinancialphysician.com. If there's something I could help you with, that really turns me on when I get an email from somebody in a financial situation that I could point them in the right direction or give them some advice, all free of charge, just email me at lou@thefinancialphysician.com. I promise you I will get back to you. Or call me at my office. I love to talk to our listeners, so you never bother me. My office number is 732-905-8100. 732-905-8100. Say you want to talk to Lou, I have a question for him. Happy to take your call. Also, I offer all our listeners, if you're in the area and you want to come in for a financial review, no obligation. come in. Now more than ever, it's important that you get proper financial advice. In the first hour, I was talking about the coming economic collapse, which has already started, that's being fueled by the Federal Reserve, where markets are collapsing, housing market's collapsing. We got rampant inflation. We got all kinds of problems going on, not only in this country, but around the world. The collapse, by the way, already happened in Germany, and I don't think we're far behind. I mean, Germany's imploding right now. I mean, really imploding. You know, producer prices of industrial products rose 46% compared to the same month a year ago in Germany. 46%. Can you say Weimar Republic, the hyperinflation back then? I mean, that number is so high that it's difficult to believe that the number's real. And now you have the winter coming. There's no natural gas. Electric prices are literally through the roof. And people are going to be cold. I mean, this is a scary thing. The German government was forced to nationalize a huge natural gas company to keep it from going under. But the German government cannot save everybody. Here's an example. A manufacturer that has been making toilet paper for Germans for nearly 100 years is now headed into insolvency. Hackel has been a German household name since 1928. But the Dusseldorf-based toilet paper manufacturer said all it took was this summer's gas price shock to drive it into insolvency. 100-year-old company that makes toilet paper. And believe me, they're not the only one. And, of course, a lot of people losing their jobs in Germany. It's a total economic collapse. Again, part of it fueled by their own sanctions against Russia. And, you know, I played for you a couple of weeks ago, President Trump talking to the European Union. I think it was addressed to the United Nations. He was saying, why are you people making a deal with Russia to get your energy, most of your energy from them? They have power over you. And boy, was he prescient about that. So now they have all these sanctions against Russia. And Russia says, okay, we'll turn off your natural gas. Now what do you think? And it's causing a complete collapse of Europe. It's pretty amazing. Now, to make things worse, Putin came out this week and gave a 7-minute address to the nation and the world, saying that he's calling up 300,000 reservist troops for the war in Ukraine. Now, apparently, I don't know if you can believe any of these numbers. I don't believe anything anybody tells me anymore because it's all propaganda anyway. Who knows? But apparently, at least 50,000 Russian troops are killed in this war so far. Whether it's more or less, I don't know. But, you know, Russia hasn't been able to walk in there and just take over. It's been more than that. It's been a tough fight for them. Now, of course, the West, Europe, and the United States are providing billions and billions of dollars worth of weaponry to Ukraine to fight this war. So, in essence, we have World War III already started. Some people call it a proxy war. It's not a proxy war. The United States has given about $67 billion in weaponry to Ukraine and money. Now, let me ask you a question. If I don't like somebody and I want to eliminate them, and I give my gun to my neighbor and says, go and kill that person, who's responsible for that death? Is it the person who shot him or me because I hired him to do it? Well, it's the same thing here. We're providing the enemy of Russia with the weapons to kill their soldiers and civilians. Is that not a war with Russia? And the thing is here, this is what's really scary about this, is that nobody's talking peace. You got people talking thermonuclear war. You got this new prime minister in Great Britain telling her citizens to be prepared, to start getting prepared for thermonuclear war. How about let's have some peace talks and end this thing? It doesn't seem like the West wants to end it. It seems like the West wants to inflame it. And Putin came out this week and threatened nuclear war and said it wasn't a bluff. So now there's going to be a referendum in the Donbas region, the eastern part of Ukraine, which was always Russian. Khrushchev was born there. Brezhnev was born there. It always was part of it. They speak Russian. And they've basically annexed it. And there's going to be an official referendum soon where the people are going to vote. And they're going to vote to join Russia. They're all Russians. So what Putin's saying that once we annex them, they're part of our country. So if anybody attacks that area, you're attacking Russia, and we're going to use all our means, including nuclear weapons. And I watched this. I watched his body language in this speech. And he ain't kidding. I'm telling you. He's dying anyway. What does he have to lose? So he gave this speech, I'm going to interpret this for you. I'm going to dust off my Russian, and I'm going to interpret his speech to you. In this situation, I consider it necessary to make the following decision. It is fully adequate to the threats we face, namely to protect our motherland, its sovereignty, and territorial integrity, to ensure the security of our people in the liberated territories. I consider it necessary to support the proposal, Ministry of Defense and General Staff, on the conduct of partial mobilization in the Russian Federation. To those who allow themselves to make such statements about Russia, I would like to remind you that our country also has various means of destruction, and for some components, more modern than those of the NATO countries. And if the territorial integrity of our country is threatened, we will certainly use all the means necessary at our disposal to protect Russia and our people. It is not a bluff. So if his back is against the wall, he's going to start using nuclear weapons. And he's threatening NATO. And I tell you, there's nobody out there talking peace. If anything, we're just inflaming things more by just keeping giving them more weapons, more money. You got the Prime Minister of England saying, prepare for thermonuclear war. Are you kidding me? And you got higher ups in the military and Defense Department saying that nuclear war is now a real possibility. Well, why not try to negotiate an end to this war, maybe? Now, let me tell you, I'm not a big fan of Russia, and I'm no Putin fan. But I'm telling you, we pushed this. You know, there was an agreement when the Soviet Union collapsed that Ukraine would stay neutral and never have nuclear weapons on. The West broke that. And we've moved all the way up to the borders of Russia. How would you like it if Russia moved up to the border of the United States through Mexico and Canada? How would we feel about it? Would we feel threatened? They move nuclear weapons. And again, I'm not a fan of, you know, I got emails last time I talked about this saying it's basically our fault. It is. We've poked Russia in the eye. We've done everything we can to push them up against the wall. Now, they could lose 50,000 soldiers. Their whole conventional military can be decimated. Their tanks and everything else. It doesn't really matter because they got the bomb. They got hypersonic missiles that we don't even have yet. And it seems that the West is pushing for nuclear war. Who's running the world right now? I mean, where is the clearer heads here that try to come to some kind of an agreement? Maybe Ukraine allows Russia to have that one region that's Russian-speaking and wants to be Russian and then negotiate some kind of treaty or peace. I have not heard one thing since this war started, about peace, about a negotiated settlement of any kind. And, you know, the West and the media, it's all propaganda. Don't believe it. They're trying to make you believe that that Putin's on the ropes, that Russia's losing this. They're not. It's taken longer than they thought. But this referendum that's coming up now where this region votes to join Russia is a big deal. Because it's going to change this, quote, special military operation into a total war footing for the Russians. Because now they're going to say, this is our territory, now you're attacking Russia. And we could do whatever we want to defend ourselves. So the world's entering some very dangerous waters right here. And possible nuclear war. And I can't believe I'm talking about this. Think about what we've lived through the last few years. Pandemics, financial collapse, inflation, political instability. You got China saber rattling with Taiwan. That's next. And now we're talking about thermonuclear war. Are you kidding me? In 2022. And nobody's talking peace. That's the part I don't get. You would think if Russia's threatening and not bluffing, he says, and he didn't look like he was. I looked at his body language. He was leaning forward. He didn't look the least bit anxious. He was determined. And I don't put it past him that he would do that. And, of course, we have no real leadership here in the United States. I mean, who knows whose hand's up the back of Joe Biden? It's not him. I saw – did you see this week, Paul, where he did a speech – and he just walked around the stage. He had no idea where he was. Did you see that? It was scary. I mean, this is the guy who's a leader of the free world in times that we're living through now. He was totally lost. He didn't know where to go. I mean, he just looked around and it was sad and scary. I don't begrudge the guy. Look, you know, he's almost 80 years old. He's got some mental deficiencies. You know, so do a lot of people at that age. Shouldn't be president. But I want to know who's the one running things. Because it's not him. He spent 40% of his time in Delaware or on vacation or somewhere. He's not engaged. Now, this week, and it seems that his staffers in the White House always have to walk back his remarks. On 60 Minutes last week, Biden firmly and clearly announced that the United States would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion. Now, this is a dramatic statement because historically we've always had a policy of strategic ambiguity with Taiwan. We never said what our response would be, right? We'd always say fool around with Taiwan and find out. But we've never said we are going to defend them. So Biden said unambiguously, if China went to war with Taiwan, it would be war with the United States and its allies. So shortly after that, people in the White House, within hours, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and other spokesmen were proclaiming that the U.S. policy had not, in fact, changed at all. So this is the fourth time that Joe Biden, as president, has publicly stated that the U.S. will defend Taiwan. He made that pledge last August to George Stephanopoulos at ABC News. Then he said it to CNN's Anderson Cooper in last October. And every time the White House had to come back and walk back his remarks. So my question is, who's in charge of foreign policy in the United States? Is it the president who comes out and says we're going to defend Taiwan four times? Or is it somebody else? Scary stuff. In a Supreme Court case years ago, they said that the president's the sole organ of the nation in foreign affairs. And they noted the importance of speaking with one voice when dealing with other nations. So any foreign policy has to come from the president. Yet over and over again, Biden has been undercut by his subordinates. And they're basically saying, pay no attention to the old man in the Oval Office. Now, either Biden is president or he's not. And if he's president, the policy should come from him. And now I'm not saying that policy would be right to defend Taiwan against China while Russia's threatening nuclear war. I mean, this is crazy. So foreign policy should come from him. All the foreign policy during the Trump years came from Trump. You didn't hear it from his advisors or nobody contradicted anything he said. Because if they're contradicting the president of the United States, which we could argue whether or not he really is or not, the legitimate president of the United States, another story. But if they're doing these people in the White House are contradicting him, they're engaged in a sort of coup against the duly elected, quote unquote, duly elected commander in chief. This is a serious problem, right? Because of his associates in the White House are the ones making foreign policy, then the presidency of the United States is effectively vacant. We don't have a president. And any president who's incapable of serving should resign. And it's obvious that he's incapable of serving. There seems no chance Biden's going to do that. But he could be removed from office due to this 25th Amendment about his mental competency, but that's not going to happen either. We're not hearing much talk about that. Why? Because Kamala Harris would be the next president of the United States, and as incoherent as Biden is, she's even worse, and she has no experience whatsoever. Talk about her. She came out this week and, you know, now we're getting close to midterm elections, not looking good for Democrats. They're doing everything they can to try to influence the election. They want more drop boxes. They want voting to go on for days and everything else. And, you know, she's not very coherent, but she came out this week and she was doing the speech. She had a teleprompter, so she was reading it, so she wasn't doing her usual word salad that she does. But she was saying that any attack on drop boxes where anybody could show up and just stuff them with ballots is an attack on democracy, really.
While laws are being passed to ban drop boxes and restrict early voting, laws that are making it illegal to give food and water to people who are standing in line sometimes for hours to vote, undemocratic laws, un-American laws. Earlier this month, our president, standing outside Independence Hall in Philadelphia, made clear, and I'll quote, "We are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy."
All right, so it's an attack on democracy because they can't have the ability to cheat with drop boxes. And election law is made by the states. That's called democracy. Now, what is she saying? We're not powerless to do anything about this. What does that mean? So a state makes certain laws regarding elections in their state, which is in the Constitution, and she says we're not powerless. Well, what does that mean? She doesn't clarify that. I think I could figure out what it means. It means I don't know, anarchy. Attacks on the opposition. Oh, by the way, did you hear last week? You probably didn't because the mainstream media didn't report it. I don't know if you heard this, Paul, because you're a little more informed that this, I think an 18-year-old young man who's a Republican was run over by a car and killed by a left-wing guy. And it was obviously political. You know, he just took his car and killed the guy. Did you hear that on the mainstream news?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay.
And he was let out on $50,000 bail?
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, Trump did a rally on Friday night. Oh, by the way, Trump still continues to sell out record amounts of arenas all over the country. But Biden got 81 million votes, right? Sure. So Trump was – he mentioned this on his rally on Friday.
past 2 days named Taylor Ellingson, a young man so handsome, beautiful, 18 years old, was targeted and killed, run down in cold blood with an SUV by a radical left maniac. He was a radical left stupid person simply because he was a Republican and he was so proud of being a Republican. And this guy ran him down. And not one mainstream media network has even mentioned this horrible crime. Think of it. Now think of it the other way. Think of it the other way. Supposing a MAGA person ran down somebody on the other side, it'd be the biggest story you've ever seen. It's a disgrace. You people should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Now he's talking to the media. You should be ashamed of yourself. And he's absolutely right. What would happen if a Trump supporter did that to a gay pride rally in China? It would be all over. You see how Trump is radicalizing his political violence. Now, Reuters did a story on this, and they conveniently said he was run down over a political dispute. They never said it was the left versus a MAGA person. You see how they manipulate, how propaganda works, omission of facts, manipulation of what you think. You only heard this on Fox, really, the actual real story. They're not going to report this because it doesn't fit their narrative. And that's where we are now, political violence. Maybe that's what Kamala Harris meant when she said, we don't have to stand by and allow this threat to our democracy when states make certain laws to for election integrity. See, that's a threat to democracy. What she means, it's a threat to democratic rule and not a threat to democracy. The words are pretty close. But she means threat to Democrats because they can't win elections anymore, especially since they've gone so radical left wing. Many Democrats are just leaving the party. I know some. And it's happening across the country. They've lost all the independents. Right now, it's estimated some political people out there that know these things, assuming that we have a semblance of a fair election. The Republicans would take 40 to 50 seats in the House, which would be an overwhelming majority. And then we'll see what happens in the Senate elections, which I think are much more easily manipulated because there's only like four or five really big, tight ones that have to be. Herschel Walker in Georgia, we'll see how they what happens there. We have this guy Fetterman, the Democrat in Pennsylvania. By the way, this guy had a stroke. He can't even speak. And he's as radical as they get. You got Ohio, you got the election in Ohio, you have a number of Senate races that are going to go on for days. You know how that works. You know, as long as they're within 5 points, the Democrats, they'll get judges to continue voting, to continue counting, unsigned ballots, the mail-in ballots will come in. You know how that works. But we'll see if there's a real significant turn here in Congress. This coming November. It's not far off. We'll see what happens. 732-237-9626. Let's go to Mike in Tom's River. Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing?
How's Italy?
Wonderful.
Well, it should be.
Wonderful. It's
talk about our economy.
Oh, it's terrible.
We got to get those guys stimulated over there in Italy.
Yeah, well, the whole of Europe is a basket case right now. So, but the food was good.
Well, the queen dying, that was exciting, right?
Yeah, I was really glad that I was in Italy doing things and not watching the whole craziness in England. I caught bits and pieces of the funeral, but I care less about royalty in England. My wife does. She likes that stuff, but I don't care.
I think you made the understatement of the year when you said that your producer there was more informed on stuff. But who was this guy that got hit?
He was an 18-year-old kid who is a Republican, I guess pro-Trump.
How do we know he was Republican?
Because he proudly stated it. I mean, he's known to be.
Before he got hit or after he got hit?
No, before he got hit. That's what.
What was he doing when he got hit? I'm real curious.
I don't know the details, but the guy who killed him said that he was an extreme right-wing guy, and that's the reason he did it. He admitted to it. So it's not an argument whether or not it was a political hit.
The Republican guy didn't do anything to the
not according to what I read about it. He said something that this guy did not like. I think it was a one word thing. Maybe he said MAGA. Maybe he said Trump. I don't know what it was. But the fact is the guy purposely killed him because of his political beliefs, which happened to be on the right. That's all.
Well, it happens,
I guess. But the bigger question is, why isn't it all over the news? Because it's not a Republican MAGA guy against a Democrat. If it was that way, and that's the hypocrisy. That's the point here.
Who was the guy with the AK-47 that killed three people at the? He was protecting the cars, right? What was his name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember that guy? They gave him water. He was walking down the road with his AK-47, and the cops rode right by him. Then they gave him something to drink after he killed three people.
I don't know. I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't remember that guy. I don't know.
So listen, all right, you say there's fraud going on with voting. Where's the evidence? I mean, you guys have been talking about that for what, 2+ years now?
First of all, come on. I mean, let's use common sense here, Mike. Let's just use common sense. Let's use common sense. When, election night, I'm getting ready to go to bed. It's almost midnight. Six states stop counting together. That's never happened before. One state never stopped counting. How does 7 swing states where Trump is way ahead, they stop counting, and you wake up in the morning and hundreds of thousands of votes change? Come on.
Before you rant, can we have like a conversation, or are you just going to rant?
I don't rant. I'm giving you a fact.
About the big lie. Well, you give me a fact.
Did you see the movie 2,000 Mules?
Nope.
Go watch that. You'll see evidence of ballot stuffing.
Do me a favor. Do some research and find out why the Democrat votes always come in late, because those are the working people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Not the rich guys.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Right? And another thing. As far as the stock market goes, it's opportunity to buy. And you can go into the VIX, and if you're in the VIX, boy, you're doing good, man.
You're right. For those who don't know what the VIX is the volatility index, and I trade it a lot. And you can make a lot of money when the market goes down in the VIX. You can make money in all markets. As a matter of fact, you could probably make more money in a down market if you're on the right side of it, because fear is a bigger emotion than greed. So when people get fearful, that's why you have crashes. You never have a crash up.
When you have fear, you get guys like the guy that can't fill the stadiums anymore, even though they say he sells out.
Okay.
I mean, he sold out, that's for sure, but besides that.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Are you still in love with Trump?
Am I still in love with him?
Yeah.
I'm in love with his policies. I love what's good for America. I have no problem with saying let's make America great again. All I know is that gas prices were $2 when he was president. The stock market was roaring. The economy was going good. The world respected us, and he can complete a sentence. So I like that.
Can we have a conversation?
Not too much longer, because I got to move on. I got other calls to go to.
I don't want to keep your homies away.
No, that's all right. Anyway, no, look, I enjoy your call. I enjoy it. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I like to have people on that disagree with me. I'm not one that just gets rid of people. But, you know, like I said, we could argue all day about election fraud and everything else. Obviously, you have your thoughts. I have mine. And we'll never reconcile them. So let's not waste time on it. And I respect your thoughts. But thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Pat in Point Pleasant. Hi, Pat.
Wow. That was interesting.
Well, I welcome all calls on this program. And, you know, it's very rare that I get an opposition call like that. And I want to hear everybody's points on this thing. But the problem is, you know, I have something that these people don't have, and that's called facts. You know, they have conjecture, and they have the mainstream media that's propagandized them into believing a certain way, and they're unwilling to look under the cover and read facts. I mean, election fraud is real. It's been there for a long time, but the extent of it last time, I my wife gets mad when I say that. I would bet my children's lives that election was rigged. That's how much I believe it. And I've done enough research on it. I've watched 2,000 Mules. I've done a lot of research in it. You know, how about that mail truck? The guy testified. He said that I went from Long Island to Pennsylvania with 300,000 ballots that night. All right? But never investigated. Matter of fact, the FBI came to him and said, shut up.
You think they would want to investigate that? So we can go on.
Biden wants to arrest anybody who denies this election, but Hillary still keeps complaining to this day that she was robbed.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, how about Stacey Abrams? She's another one. She's still so. It's all right if you're on their side. You could say that the election was stolen.
The reason I called is basically our savings accounts. Are they going to be okay, or do we wake up one morning and go online and find out there's just zeros across the board in our savings accounts?
I've said on this radio show for a long time, I would not have my life savings in any big bank. Period.
It's not in a big bank. It's in a local bank, but is it still safe for now, or do I have to yank that money out and stuff it under, and put it like you say, put it in a shoebox?
Well, right now I think it's safe. I mean, I believe community banks and credit unions are safe right now because they're not laden with derivatives like the big banks have. I mean, the big banks can. We saw how quickly Lehman Brothers collapsed and Bear Stearns and so forth. I mean, and the system was collapsing. If it wasn't for the bailouts that happened, I mean, the banking system was collapsing. We were at risk of losing our savings. And don't tell me it can't happen again. It certainly can, because the banks are even more leveraged now than they ever been before, especially the major Wall Street banks. So I've said it many times on this program for years now. I would not have my life savings in a major bank. I would have it either in a credit union, a community bank, or better yet, a U.S. Treasury money market mutual fund, where there's no risk of default or anything like that. And now we're starting to see interest rates starting to creep up in some of the safer areas right now. You could actually, if you're a husband and wife, you could put $20,000 still in I bonds and get 9.6%.
I bonds.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to November 1st to do that. Then the interest rates change. But for the next 6 months, you'll get 9.6%, 6.2%. So there's places to go that are safe, secure, and out of the system. If the system implodes, and let me tell you something, what's happening now in the markets, the bond market, the stock market, the real estate market, the mortgage market, this is what happened in 2008, but it's happening 10 times worse at this point. And the worst is not even here yet. And the Fed's raising interest rates into this. The risk of a major financial collapse is high. Now, I don't say that to scare people. I say that to prepare people, that there's things that you can do to protect your savings and such. And that is to put it in a place that can't default on you. And the place that can't default on you is U.S. Treasury money market accounts, because they're T-bills. And T-bills will never default. I don't care what happens to the U.S. government. They'll always pay its debt by printing money. Now, it may not be worth much, but the fact is you're never going to go and see the doors closed on your money market mutual fund. You'll see that, you could see that at your Bank of America account, that all of a sudden is a bank holiday and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying the risk of it happening is significant. So if there's a risk of something happening, even though it may not even be 50%, even if it's 20%, I don't want to take the risk. I have alternatives to protect myself where I have zero risk of that happening. And that's what I say here on this program. Why would I want to have my money in Chase, Bank of America? First of all, they're not paying me any more to be there. Number two, a week doesn't go by that you don't hear one of these major investment banks are being fined for some kind of fraud of some kind, whether it's fixing markets or whatever. I just don't want to do business with that. I'd rather have my money where I can control it, and I don't have to worry about some third party controlling my money. Because you got to understand, I have it right here. The FDIC and Bank of England 2012 report on how they're going to handle the next systemic banking crisis. And that means a bail-in. Depositors are unsecured creditors. Banks are first in line with each other. If this bank owns this bank money because of a derivative transaction, they get paid before the depositors get their money. You are last in line. You are a creditor. And when you open up a bank account, people have to understand that you are lending money to the bank. You're not depositing it. You're lending it. That makes you a creditor. And if you're a creditor, you're most at risk, because the lender, the borrower, which is the bank, can default on you and say, I'm bankrupt. So you're the creditor, get in line. People don't think that can happen because it hasn't happened since the 1930s. And people think that FDIC insurance will save them. Well, FDIC insurance has $100 billion, and Bank of America has $1.4 trillion in deposits. So if one bank goes under, 5% can get their money, and then the rest of the banking system fails. So
what
I'm just saying is,
I have a nest egg through that's the company. That's my IRA. Do I just let it hang, or should I take that?
You have a 401k still at your company? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's through a local bank.
An IRA at a local bank. Well, a local bank, like right now, I'm not worried about. But if I started hearing there's problems on Wall Street with some banks and you're hearing rumblings about that, I would take the money and move it to a U.S. Treasury money market, which you can get at any brokerage firm. You can get it at any mutual fund company. All have U.S. Treasury money market funds. It costs nothing to buy them. They never fluctuate. They're currently paying about 2, 2.5% interest. And when the Fed raises rates, they go up and they can't default on you. You can't lose your money there. So why would I keep it in a major Wall Street bank that can default when I could put it in somewhere else? Then I'm going to get the same rate, if not better.
Is there a penalty for doing that?
No. You just open up an IRA account with a broker or a financial planner or a mutual fund company. You call up Fidelity or Vanguard. I want to open up a U.S. Treasury money market. Open up the account, wire the money in or send in a check, and now it's out of the system. Vanguard's not going to fail on you. It's no way, because the mutual funds are separate assets of the company, and every bank could go under tomorrow, and your money would be safe. Would it be worth anything? I don't know, but that's a different story.
What one of my prospectus,
yes,
was a Vanguard. I had looked at it, so I was like, Vanguard, isn't that kind of one of those?
Yeah, Vanguard has 400 funds, including stock funds, bond funds, international funds, money market funds, energy funds. You know, you want a U.S. Treasury money market mutual fund, right? It's $1 a share, never fluctuates. The interest rate is variable based on what the Fed policy is. Rates are going up, obviously, so it's starting to pay something. For years, it paid zero. But it's safe. I could sleep at night. I have the majority of my liquid money in a U.S. Treasury money market fund within an account at my own firm. I sleep better at night knowing that than if I had it in Bank of America. And I'm not singling out Bank of America. I'm just using them as an example.
Right.
You know, so that's it. I sleep at night. I know where my money is. I'm out of the system. I have very little money in banks. Very little. Enough to pay my bills for my business and for my personal family. The rest of my money I have outside of the banking system in other assets, including precious metals and things like that. So I've done everything I can to protect myself and my family from any potential collapse of any kind. Will I not be hurt by it? Yeah, I'll be hurt in some ways by it, but I will not, you know, I won't be destroyed by it because I've taken the proper things. And that's what it's about. It's not to scare people. It's to prepare people that there is potential right now for the biggest financial collapse this country's ever seen and the world has ever seen. I hope I'm wrong, and I really pray that I am. But the risk of this happening now, and I read very smart people, smarter people than myself, that believe that that's a potential. So why not? I just hate to think that the day after we say to ourselves, oh, geez, why didn't I do this? Why did I have my money there? Why didn't I take some of my money out of the stock market, you know, before I got destroyed? You know, back in 2008, I was hosting this program. Late 2007, 2008, I was begging people to take their money out of the market. That I saw the mortgage market, what was happening. I saw the things that were happening as I see them now. And I told people, get out of the market, get out of the market, take your 401k out, you know. And I was very emphatic about that for a long time. And it took longer than I thought before the real collapse happened. But even to this day, I mean, I have people send me emails. You don't know who I am, Lou, but I listened to your show way back when. And me and my son and my daughter, we took our money out of the market before the collapse. And we have our retirement to thank you for. That makes my day. I mean, to know that I could help people. My job here is to protect people. That's the number one goal of this radio show, is to inform and protect and give people advice that they're not going to get elsewhere. And unfortunately, a lot of the things we talk about here are very negative, because we live in a very negative time in world history right now. from the threat of thermonuclear war to hyperinflation to financial collapse to political instability to cultural and morality decline. We got so many things that are bad right now. I mean, what's going on in schools now with the gender stuff and all that. It's just we're living – it's almost like demons have been unleashed on the world, and we're in the end times. But you know, my job here is to inform and protect and do the best I can and pray and hope that I'm wrong, okay? And believe me, nobody's more happy to be wrong about stuff like this than me, and I'm the first to admit that. But I think that the risk right now that we're all facing is great. I got to jump, Pat. Thanks for the call. All right, let's take a quick break. 732-237-9626 is the call number. My name is Lou Scatigna. Don't go away.
Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer, a family-owned and operated premier septic installation and repair company with more than a decade of experience in the septic services. Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer provides full-service maintenance and cleaning services, pumping septic tanks, repairing broken sewer lines, cleaning of grease tanks for restaurants, as well as real estate septic inspections, repairs, and installations. Phone 732-600-8721 or go to jerseyshoreseptic.com to learn more. Jersey Shore Septic and Sewer, top quality work at the most affordable rates.
Are you currently retired or planning to retire in the next 5 years? Hey, Lou Scatigna here, certified financial planner, personal finance author, president of AFM Investments, and host of The Financial Position. Why not join me for a comprehensive financial review at my downtown Toms River office? Banks are paying virtually nothing, and the stock market has become a risky casino. But there are ways to achieve reasonable returns without taking on big risks. Let me show you how. During our meeting, I will determine your net worth, find ways to maximize your income, and minimize your taxes. I'll review your estate plan and discuss strategies to protect your estate from nursing home costs. Managing your finances is more complicated than ever, but you don't have to go it alone. So make your no-obligation appointment today by calling 732-905-8100. That's 732-905-8100. Securities transactions through Lee Baldwin & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Registered advisory services through Fortitude Advisory Group.
Call the financial physician now at 732-237-9626. Here's Lou Scatigna.
All right, if you're just getting up, just tuning in, driving down the parkway and you're listening to our program, we get together each and every Sunday for 2 hours of money, markets, politics, current events, and anything that affects your life. My name is Lou Scatigna, a certified financial planner and your money doctor each and every Sunday. Live 7 to 9 here on 92.7, but available anytime at the podcast at thefinancialphysician.com. Thefinancialphysician.com, where Paul will have the show up, the entire 2-hour show right after the show's over. So you can listen to the parts you miss or listen to the show again. Now, Biden, you know, we know he has issues. Let's face it. I mean, nobody knows more than that than people around him, including his wife. But this, you know, Biden every day, I don't even know why they put him in front of a microphone because the things he says are really kind of off the wall. But Friday night, he had Elton John do a concert on the lawn of the White House. Did you see this, Paul? Did you know that it's Elton John's fault that we're spending $6 billion a month on AIDS? All right? Listen to what he said.
$6 billion in taxpayer money this month to help AIDS, fight HIV/AIDS.
Now, we're not spending $6 billion this month. We spend $7 billion a year on AIDS. So if we're spending $6 billion a month, I want to know the accounting of that. But I didn't know it was Elton John's fault. Is it his fault because he's gay? Is it his fault because he had HIV? I don't know. What does he mean by that? And you know, the White House tries to – they ask him questions. What do you mean by that? They didn't know that. Now, he was doing another Democratic speech with a Democratic group, and I want you to tell me what he means by this.
But guess what? We got a lot to do. Gotta say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12. I was 30. But anyway.
What does that mean? She was 12. I was 30. We go back a long way. The White House was asked to clarify that, and they didn't say anything. We got some more sound bites. Let's get to them all before the show's over. All right, so in August, the FBI raided a former president of the United States. I mean, if you don't think that this country has hit rock bottom politically, that was it. It's never happened before. They said they were going to look for classified documents that were supposed to be in the archive. But apparently they took everything. They had such a broad warrant, they took everything. And Trump was on Hannity this week, and he said they took his will.
Part two of this question is this. They took your passport, they took your medical records, they took your tax records, and probably the scariest part to me, and this is why a broad warrant like this to me would be dangerous, we do have a Fourth Amendment, they also took, 500 pages of attorney-client privilege information? Have you gotten that back, by the way?
A lot. I don't know. I really don't know. They took a lot. I think they took my will. I found out yesterday. I said, where is it?
Am I in it?
I think they took my will. It could cause a lot of problems.
No.
It could cause a lot of problems if that gets published for people that won't be so happy or maybe will be very happy.
Okay.
But no, I think they took my will. No, it's a horrible thing.
So, I mean, they took his passport, okay? Where was the warrant that he couldn't travel outside the United States? He wasn't charged with anything. How do you take someone's passport? I mean, they're out of control. And people losing total faith in the criminal justice system, which is a very dangerous thing. The majority of Americans who were, I think 53% of Americans surveyed, believe that the FBI now is Biden's Gestapo. How about that? Now, Hillary Clinton, I don't know if she's running or not in 2024, but she just won't go away. She should be in jail. You want to talk about raiding somebody's house for criminal activity, it would be the Clintons. But she came out again, and she's comparing Trump rallies to Hitler.
I remember as a young student, you know, trying to figure out how did people get basically drawn in by Hitler? How did that happen? And I'd watch newsreels, and I'd see this guy standing up there ranting and raving and people shouting and raising their arms. I thought, what's happened to these people? Why did they believe that? You saw the rally in Ohio the other night. Trump is there ranting and raving for more than an hour, and you have these rows of young men with their arms raised. I thought, what is going on? So there is a real pressure, and I think it is fair to say we're in a struggle between democracy and autocracy.
All right, so now it's gotten to the point of where any supporters of Trump are Nazis. Young men with their hands up. That would never happened. First of all, she wasn't watching any Trump rally to begin with, so she didn't see nothing. See how they make this stuff up? So now demonize. They're going to lose. They're so desperate. So now we have Hitler Youth that are following Trump. They have their arms up. I've seen every rally almost that Trump has done. I've never seen that. And there's women there, too, not just men, young men. It's unbelievable what they're doing. Oh, yeah, the House Judiciary Committee, the Democrats voted to support non-citizens and the right to vote in our elections. That's right. Open up the borders, and now they're coming to try to get anybody to vote. They want open elections to match their open borders. So there was an amendment to a bill that a Republican introduced that would prevent illegals from voting. Every Democrat on the committee voted against it. Democrats intend for illegals to vote in America. The guy called earlier, what's your evidence of voter fraud? I mean, are you an idiot? They want mail-in elections. They want no voter ID. Now they want they vote unanimously not to ban illegals from voting. It's nuts. Our Democratic governor in California. California Air Resources Board voted to end the sale of natural gas heaters by 2030. The goal is to replace all gas-powered furnaces and water heaters with electric appliances. I mean, California can't even afford to keep the lights on, you know, with a heat wave. What could possibly go wrong here? So they're going to ban. So don't worry about it, though. You don't have to change your gas appliance now, but if it breaks, you have to get an electric one. So between the electric heaters, air conditioners, and, oh, by the way, no gas-powered cars after 2035, everything's electric. Unbelievable. The world has gone mad, my friends. The world has gone mad. and I have to report it on this radio show every Sunday. Thanks so much for joining us for our live edition of The Financial Physician. If you missed any of the show, you want to listen to it, just go right to thefinancialphysician.com. Paul will have the show up right after the program's over in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. My email address is lou@thefinancialphysician.com. Love your emails, lou@thefinancialphysician.com. My office number, if you want to come in for a complimentary financial review, 732-905-8100, 732-905-8100. Have a wonderful week, and join me next Sunday and every Sunday for the next edition of The Financial Physician.